Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio. You know, we get to chat with Glenn Burrows every fourth Saturday. Yes, he is here over in England. That's where Glenn Burrows is based. I know you've probably heard him and seen him on Big Blend Radio before. He is a family history expert, a tour guide, and owner of Norfolk Tours in England. So if you travel to England, Glenn is the person you want to connect with. You can go to his website, Norfolk-tours.co.uk. See, I have to read things. Otherwise, apparently, it goes right out my head. Like, I've got a big ear hole here, Glenn, and everything goes in, goes out. No, but welcome back, Glenn. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. I had a good old laugh with you two girls before we come on air, so that's always good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good. And you know, that's why I can't remember anything, because we had the giggles too much. You know, there's only, you know, so much I can do at the one time with my brain, you know.
Hey, you have to laugh. You have to.
Well, Well, as we all discussed, the world has kind of gone mad. And, you know, I just, you know, today is Earth Day that this is airing. And we want to talk about what can we do as travelers, as people in communities, as business owners, consumers, because that I hate that word, but actually now I'm starting to really like it, because human beings do consume quite a bit and a lot more than we need to. And so when we think about the Earth and the planet, something you've got an article, it's up on blendradioandtv.com right now, Glenn. You talk about Earth Day and you talk about really going into plastics. You go into politics a little bit, in which we could just trash them all, right? But so, I kind of want to say that customer service has, when it's gone out the window, and I feel like customer service, as we automate everything and we let big giant corporations take over everything, and this automation, and that the systems are not done well to take care of our environment, which means we're not being taken care of, right? At the end of the day. Exactly. Yeah,
but not only are we not being taken care of as consumers, as customers, but the planet isn't. I mean, we were discussing a scenario that I'm going through at the moment, where I've actually ordered an item for delivery, and after I'd put the order through on the internet, I realized that I'd ordered the wrong color. It's a simple thing; just change the color. I didn't want to change anything else, just the colour. So I couldn't actually do anything online about it, so I had to call them up. I must have spent 3/4 of an hour on a call, and it turned out that they can't actually change my order because I'd put it through. What they needed to do was to deliver the item. Then I needed to contact them and tell them that I'd got the wrong item. Could I please return it? They would then come and collect the item and take it back. And then they would replace that with my replacement order, which is the one I wanted to order. Now, that's ridiculous.
And that's gas. That's petrol. That's fumes in the air.
That's the planet.
And a waste of time.
That's total waste. I could have done that within that many seconds. All the person that I called in needed to do was change the color on the order. It's not as if I wanted immediate delivery. This was going to be delivered in 3 weeks' time. It's not tomorrow. It's going to be 3 weeks in the future. So there is plenty time to change my order, but no.
Let me introduce you to the term artificial intelligence. It means exactly what it says. You let the robot take over. Artificial meaning not real.
Yeah.
Intelligence. Artificial intelligence. That is where we're headed. Unless we all get a heads up and take a look and go, hey, wait a minute.
Well, we input the artificial intelligence. See, human beings are what does the input on that. So when they're doing these systems, customer service, they want to do whatever is a quick return for the company, but it's really not a quick return for the company. Yeah. The company is spending extra money. And back in the day, someone would be employed, take the call.
Exactly.
Take the order, make you feel warm and cozy that you just spent X amount of dollars or pounds for this. And then you go, okay, everybody's happy. Oh, ring them back. I just realized, did I order the white or the black or the pink or the purple? What, you know? Oh, it's this. Oh, is it going to take a little? Maybe it's a little longer. Maybe it's not. But back in the day, and I'm not going against computers, you could have computers and automation and certain things.
Yeah, cool.
But it's just get on there and ding, 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 and it's done. But we used to actually have order forms with carbon copies, one for the bookkeeper, one for the company, and one for the client, and maybe four, one for the delivery person. So everybody has a sheet. I miss carbon copies with actual signatures.
Yeah, but that's because more
I agree. But there's also, you could go into, there's more mining happening for computer screens, and they keep making us buy a computer every 2 to 3 years, like our cell phones.
Yes. So, and I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it? There's already inbuilt out-of-dateness into items, isn't there? I can't think, there's a big word for it, but it's already inbuilt into things.
Oh, I've got a word, but I'll behave.
It's called Nancy.
It's called greed.
Yeah. Yes. But all it is, I mean, I know for a fact, I mean, I've just bought a new one of them, right? I've just bought it. I know for a fact that that's already out of date, even though I only had it this weekend.
Hey, listen, Glenn, mine's coming tomorrow. My new one's coming tomorrow, and I'm going to ask them, please, I want it to be purple instead of black.
Well,
oh, no.
The problem is with all of these items is that they say that they're simple. It took my daughter 2 days with me to set everything up, and still things are not set up on my new phone. It said everything across, but it doesn't. And then you have to, I mean, not only did I order the phone for delivery, I then had to order a case that had to come separately, wrapped up in a cardboard box with loads of plastic inside this cardboard box, just for a case for a telephone. It had its own box that was delivered separately to the telephone.
And
because
twice
they can't send it together.
This is the systems
like
of these
you get
big, a
box this big and the item in it's this big, but here comes the box, you know. It's like happening?
You don't need a giant box. For those who are just listening and not seeing the visuals of our rant here, but it is basically, this is just ranting about how businesses are not actually doing, and they'll go, oh, you know, we use soy-based paper, but by the way, we're sending 20,000 tons of it out that we don't need to. It's like you go to the grocery store, Glenn. Now, you can go get the potatoes in the bin if you want.
Yeah.
You know they're not organic. Who knows where they come from? So everybody eyeballs. Now, unless you go to the fancy la-di-da stores that will charge you $5 a potato. I'm kidding. But like if they're organic and or pesticide free or whatever, somehow in mainstream grocery stores, not the specialty stores, they now have to be bagged. So you get them in a bag with a little bit of netting so they can breathe. Your little potatoes can breathe. And yes, they're still going to grow things because they're organic. And then, oh, you can self-check out, because we want to eliminate people checking out. But if you're like Nancy and I, we always order a bottle of wine, which means someone has to come and see, yes, I'm obviously over 40 years old, but let's make sure that we input your birth date and ask you. Then I go, oh, well, that felt nice, but then you really knew, didn't you?
It really got me to check on my
and
age,
then,
not
and
hers.
Then they, and then they go, thank you, ma'am. And then I go, did you have to say ma'am? But anyway, we go through this rigmarole that we actually still need human help, because even the computers, oh, the computer did it twice. Maybe I did it twice instead. No, call the person. Excuse me. We can't go. No, this is wrong on the computer. We're too stupid, apparently. So we still need the human person. Or now, if you make the choice to go to one of the 20 checkout stations or 10 stations, depending on the store, there's going to be one person that's going to check people out because of the elderly, right? Or those who are disabled, right? And so they're going to help. You go through there. And what are they going to do with the bag of potatoes? Everybody, you know what they're going to do. They're going to take the bag of potatoes. And even if you bring your own cloth bags, what are they going to do? They're going to put it in another plastic bag, because we certainly cannot carry a bag of potatoes unless it's in another plastic bag. That's my rant.
Well, because it doesn't have the handles.
The problem that I see from all of this is about the, as I put in my article, you know, you've got potatoes and things that are coming in from Egypt, for us anyway, for Egypt, from Spain, from France, but we grow potatoes. You know, why do we keep importing all this stuff that we don't need to import? I mean, when I was a kid, yes, I know I was a kid in the 1960s, but we grew the food that we ate. And if we didn't grow it, we got it off the local marketplace. So we were eating stuff that was, number one, was in season, and number two, that was local. The only things that I remember when I was little, we sometimes had oranges and bananas, but not very often. So, you know, why are we now getting used to eating strawberries in February, or having things like kiwi fruit or avocados and things? I know they're nice to have every now and again, but we're now getting so used to having stuff that we don't need to eat. We don't need to have raspberries in February.
Well,
why are we doing this?
Well, that's what the corporations are doing. They're trying to make every delicacy, what used to be considered a delicacy or out of season fruit, delicacy that you would opt to pay a little more for if you really had to have it and have it shipped to you. Now it's going to be, every place you go, everything is there, and you're going to pay twice as much, whether or not you
plastic. And it's all been flown.
They have actual baking potatoes here. You know, because I went to the grocery store yesterday after reading your article, and I should never have done that. Because they actually had baking potatoes wrapped in plastic. Each individual potato was wrapped in plastic.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell for?
I don't know.
And here's the
cucumbers.
Potato doesn't want to be
the English cucumbers
in plastic.
No, they don't. That's
None
how they
the
get
vegetables.
Mold.
Nothing, absolutely nothing wants to be wrapped in plastic.
The first thing we do is take them out. And here's the thing. I want to switch from the rant, because even though we're doing really good and I'm apparently really mad about potatoes, but I want to go to places that are doing the right thing. And I think it's harder to do, but it's once it is becomes part of it, I think it's important. So behind us, we have photos of carrots, because I wanted Nancy to have carrots on top of her head in the picture. Anyway, here's the thing.
We
are seeing more and more, especially now that COVID's kind of on its way out, but it's, you know, whatever. We're seeing more and more farmers markets everywhere we go. And even out of if it's cold and windy, they'll go on the inside and will be people's baked goods and music and art. So they become more of a community event, not just about the fruits and vegetables. It'll become artisans as well. People who are bakers, maybe they're growing mushrooms. So I think we're seeing more and more of that. And some of the travel writers we interview all the time, we were just talking about this on a recent show. In fact, the day before your show airs, we were talking about going to farmers markets as travelers, because then you get to understand the taste of the place. And we were talking about restaurants doing what's called now hyperlocal. Like one lady was talking about going to hyperlocal. I'm fine with it. Hey, everybody's got to have a term, so long as I don't use the word pleasure ever again. But
hyperlocal.
Look at this. Hyperlocal. And it's hard to do. And it is a little bit more costly. until we all get back to our traditional roots, like Glenn, you were saying, like what we did as kids, you know.
Yes.
There's a guy that this lady was talking about, he's a chef. He goes and catches the fish right there and he cooks it on the shore, on the beach for you.
Yep. Yep.
Using wood that is sourced from right there. Like everything is from there. So you're getting the true taste of place. And the wines were from local.
Yep.
And so when we say hyper-local, it's like even the butter needs to come from the farm.
Everything needs to come from there.
And so how much plastic is being involved in that? The small entrepreneur cannot afford to overdo their packaging. They can't.
No. I mean, I remember that we had a group of American travel agents over once, and the hotel that I put them up in, we decided to give them a local meal. And I think the furthest thing that came was from a few miles away, literally 3 or 4 miles away. And that was the ice cream that came from a local dairy. Everything else on the plate had been from within a mile. You know, there was eggs, there were pheasants, there were crayfish from the local river, there were fruit and vegetables from the farm. You know, everything had come from within 3 or 4 miles. And
awesome.
That is how we used to eat. But the thing that I am more annoyed about nowadays is the unnecessary. I mean, in England at the moment, we've sort of more or less banned the really cheap plastic carrier bags, which is great. But they've been replaced by bigger, thicker carrier bags that you can reuse. Why? Also, we've banned some of the plastic packaging on things. But actually, we're still wrapping up individual cucumbers, individual heads of broccoli. You know, why? We've got boxes of imported soft fruit that are all in plastic boxes that obviously were put in boxes in Spain. Why are we using all this plastic? Why are we still wanting to eat things that we're not,
because people growing? Are scared of their germaphobes, right?
And you wash them and peel them.
Exactly, but there are people who actually have that are truly they don't want to shake your hands and everything.
Yes,
I understand that.
But aren't
we also seeing now post-COVID that a lot of us are getting sick quicker because we don't have those our immune systems
have become, I understand that, totally.
But that's why we wash things.
Exactly. I mean,
when you won't have mold if you keep things out of plastic.
We used to make use of the seasons. So, you know, we'd have loads of cauliflower during the cauliflower season. You know, when the new carrots were in, we'd have lovely new carrots with all the tops still on, you know, like you've got behind you. You know, when we had the old carrots, you know, we could then put them in sacks, in potato, and, you know, in brown paper sacks, and they would keep for months, same as potatoes. They keep for months in their brown paper sacks. But if you buy a plastic bag of potatoes, that lasts about a week before they're gone mold.
But that's interesting because they have expiration dates. We always go, now, what is up about the expiration date? Because now eggs is my new thing. I want to know, because it has to do, if you wash the eggs, because now this country wants to sterilize absolutely everything. Wash the eggs, take off the protective shell. Now you need to refrigerate them. And so now you have an expiration date on the eggs. Well, if you left the eggs, not the shell, they wash, there's a protective layer from the chicken that naturally encases the egg. Now, like when we were on the farm, we would take the eggs, you could leave them out. You could eat them. You did not need to put them in the refrigerator. In fact, you shouldn't. But no. Here we must sterilize them. They even have like this, it's almost like they've been whitewashed. Even the organic ones, they've been over-sterilized. Well, yeah. I wonder, is it because we put 20,000 chickens in one tiny coop? Really? That maybe they're pooping on each other and a little bit more unsanitary than normal? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and also, that not only in the conditions that the animals are in, but the conditions that the fruit and vegetables and things in factory.
It's not funny, Nancy.
No, I mean, it's years ago, we used to have local farmers who grew local food and you used to get local food. And in season, it's quite cheap because, you know, people have got a glut and they they can't sell the I mean, supermarkets are now doing it where they're selling misshapen fruit and vegetables.
Yes, we are slightly seeing cheaper. Stuff like that.
But I mean, we used to do that years ago. We used
But there's a companies now creating it. There's a company where you get they call it CSA delivery. So it's like consumer supported agriculture, which is a really cool, positive thing that we have here for local. And there's an organization that goes out and it's basically all the misshapen, maybe it's got a bruise, and you're going to pay a little less.
Yeah.
Delivered to your door. Okay. So I don't mind so much of that, but do we need everything delivered to our door? I suppose we're so busy. So this is where I go with the consumerism. And after we interview you, we're going to do an interview about divorce. And I want to ask this divorce lawyer, are most people getting divorced because they're so busy being busy, keeping up with their busyness, that they are not conscious about each other and then wake up one day and go, oh, what the hell did I do? You know what I mean? Or get angry and all these things happen. So I wonder about our own. You talk about health in your article. I think it's mental health as well. I think this is an actual root problem that we have. And then there's entrepreneurs that go, oh, well, I can do this. I can create a business out of misshapen fruit. Good, because somebody needs to do something.
Yeah, but still, because it gets thrown away.
But this becomes this thing of perfection, this pursuit of perfection that we have in society now.
Yes.
Back in the day, we used to have to hike and hunt and gather for our food. And I'm not saying we have to go back to that.
The potato plant has its potatoes. It doesn't go, everyone should look the same. That's a human thing.
Yeah.
The potato plant produces potatoes based on all the roots that go out, who gets the most minerals and vitamins and water. And therein lies the difference of the shapes of the friggin' potato. God help us.
Potato heads. Oh, this is a total ranch show today. No, my gosh.
Seriously. Oh my God. This potato looks different than that one. Holy. I won't say the next word, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, now potatoes get to have their own pronouns.
So now the potatoes must all look
See, Glenn's
identical.
Like, no. But that's
I'm behaving. I'm really
No, but this is a positive thing. This is a positive thing because I think, okay, so we have this thing of pronoun changes in this country, your country, Glenn, and it is about accepting people as an individual of who and what they are, right? As an individual.
That's good. Individual potato.
But that's what I'm trying to say. So in a way, we're kind of going through a shift in civilization, I think, in society, and we need to make changes now on emotional, mental, and physical thing.
Do you know if you get a perfect potato every time, that potato, the perfect potatoes have been modified. They're not pure, they're not natural, they have had plastic surgery, they've been modified.
but I'm trying to say, like, back to this, Nancy. The thing is,
okay, sorry.
Let everything be individual, and that's where I think we're having to have all these new rules, societal rules, and we're not supposed to say this, say that. Instead, which I get it, but I would like to have conversations more and get to have build relationships and spend time on those things rather than labels. Right?
Yeah.
Our food, the labeling thing has come about, which is important because we have so many processed things in our food and in our healthcare products. And I mean, even in shampoo, you have to go and read the labels to see what kind of chemical they're putting in your shampoo.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that is another problem, which obviously I didn't touch on. But the trouble is nowadays, there are so many chemicals that are going into our food and our other products that we're actually putting back onto the planet. Now, I'm sure that a lot of that stuff really shouldn't be going down the drains and ending up in our rivers, because who knows what all this stuff is? It's all chemicals, and we don't We don't actually need it all. It's all there for other reasons, other than for what we. I mean, when I wash my hair, you know,
your hair looks good, Gwen.
Yeah, thank you. you know, I use the shampoo or whatever it is, but it isn't just soap anymore. It's 27 million other different things, and most of them are chemicals. And do we actually need them, or are we just having them in there because the people who produce them are just putting it all in there?
Well, now we have people that counter that.
You wash your hair with the shampoo, and you like the shampoo, and you like the way your hair comes out. Now you grab a towel to dry your hair, but now on the dryer is something called, starts with a B, but I'm not going to say it, and air dryer thingies and chemicals in the dryer to dry the towel and make it soft and fluffy. So the dryer sheet chemicals now are in the towel, and you put the towel on your head, and what if the chemicals from the dryer sheet on the towel say to your hair shampoo, I really don't like you, let's fight.
Well, it does it on your skin. Because now the laundry detergent and dryer sheets, they put these little sheets in your dryer, and it's supposed to soften and make your clothes smell good, but it's full of chemicals. They've done studies that show like these chemicals, like people put air fresheners all around their house that attack every few hours. They spray stuff. And
you walk
they
by.
Have shown, and we've done interviews on this with actual chemists and biologists have shown that they change people's personalities.
Yep.
They affect your hormones, your emotions, and they change for kids and for animals. Mm-hmm. They mess with their molecular chemical makeup and make people angry.
Crazy.
So maybe, Nancy, you've been sniffing too much. I don't know.
Nancy's...
But this is true.
You're talking about tumble dryers. I mean, still have our linen lines out. I was going to put my computer out and show you my garden because we've got linen line where we hang our linen. We don't dry it.
That's awesome.
But this is the problem, you see. We're not actually realizing what we are doing to our surroundings and what we're doing to ourselves, because we're just, it seems to have been a very short process of us changing our ways, and suddenly we're putting things in our bodies, in our food, in our surroundings, and we've got no idea what is going on.
What it is.
No.
Yeah, and it's also how we're producing food. So it's not just, you know, it's like even you think, oh, eating a carrot is fine. Oh, well, does it have pesticides? Now it becomes a game of entrepreneurship, of business. It's competitive. Now companies are going, hey, I'm going to be organic. I'm going to do this, which costs a ton of money, to now do what was natural and normal to do in the first place. Now we have to reverse. Mm-hmm. So there are really good companies doing really good things. And there are, like we were talking about, consumer supported agriculture. When we were last year, summer, we went up to Madison, Wisconsin, which we've done in the snow, but then it's really good to go in spring and summer. And we did fall too. And the lady we sat for, Allison, she's texting me. She goes, oh, I go to the farmer's market this day every week, and I support this farm. And she actually volunteered on the farm to learn and to help, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
And, she says, cool. Would you mind? She says, it is like a 15, 20 minute drive there going. And if you don't want the produce, she said, I want you to eat it. I just don't want it to sit there and the farmer waste his time. I'll get a friend to go and do it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going, you know, I just got to work around our, you know, recordings. I'm going. And I went, and here's the farmer. You find his stall. It was so cool. It was small, but people were selling flowers and baked bread, and there were painted cows everywhere, which was cool as a public art, you know, and it was a little community and everyone was happy. You could see as soon as they saw the flowers, people were happy. There was somebody playing music. There were little tables set out where people could actually buy bits of food. And I was like, look at this happy bunch of people. Well, this is nice, shiny, happy people. I found the farmer and I said, I'm here for Allison. He goes, oh, Allison's, here's her bag. And he goes, now here's a box. This is the swap box. whatever you guys don't want to eat, if that's not your preference, you put it in the box and take something in replacement. And I just was like, no, I don't want, you know, I don't want to mess with people's food. I couldn't believe what she paid, like how little, and the bounty. And I put it out on her table, her dining room table, and it was half the dining room table was covered with this variety because we're seeing the farmers, the organic ones, and even if they're not certified organic, most of them are trying not to use pesticides and everything.
Yeah, of course they
This variety of produce coming from this one little farm that she's supporting and others are supporting. And none of us, and she said her biggest problem, she's always giving it to her neighbors and stuff. And I think now this is where we are making positive change. We're ranting away, but on the positive, if we can go back to more and more of these kinds of experiences and to see kids be able to speak to the farmer and, you know, and even go to the farms, we're seeing a lot of farms now because, and wineries do it too, because farming is expensive and timely. And so they do things like events on their farms. So it helps subsidize financially because you don't make, we know farmers and it's, you know,
it's really hard to make money.
It is so hard to make money. And I've done farm work. It's hard work. And you're reliant on Mother Nature and then you're reliant on people understanding. So a lot of farms are doing, you know, bed and breakfasts, farm stays, maybe an Airbnb thing or on their property or events like produce events, like, hey, the pumpkins are out, come and get them while they're here. And so you're seeing kids and their parents kind of reconnect. And I think it's through kids and getting kids involved to understand where carrots come from, for example. The adults, the kids are the catalyst. That's how
it always has been. If you want to educate the parents, you've got to educate the children because the children are going to be the ones who are going to tell the parents all about it. And if you want parents to get involved in anything, involve the children and they'll bring their parents along. And that has always been the same thing. You know, if say, for instance, when I used to take children from my local primary school up to the local museum, and we would have a look at, you know, whatever. I used to get reports back from the museum to say that they've had a sudden influx of local people to the museum because the children have said, oh, well, you ought to see such a thing. We've just seen them, you know, and then the parents have gone along. So if you encourage children, you encourage the parents, you know, and it always works because parents listen to the children.
Busy. You have to keep up with your kids.
Your kids are good nags.
You're supposed to be a couple steps ahead, at least. You know,
I think you're not. They so often are. You know, they're the ones who learn about different things at school, and then they come home and they teach their parents.
And also, they have wonder, and they don't have the negativity that we as adults have. You know, grown accustomed to. We always have negative before positive. I mean, now we're getting to the positive side, but we all had a good rant in the beginning, you know. But that's the truth is, as adults, we always, you know, the wonderment sometimes leaves us because we're so busy. And I'm going back to that busy of being, the busyness of being, and that quest for the perfect car, the perfect this, which really does not exist. So we're like, I don't know why we have this. I don't know if it's greed, money, civilization putting airs on us, or I don't know how this started, but it's nonsense. I'm just going to use that word.
It is. But I mean, one thing that we have lost a lot of, and I think a lot of it is because of how some of us have sort of been brought up and how the system has told us that we can't do things. We need to try and get a can-do attitude.
We need
to try and think that what we can do actually will have an effect. You know, it's the old starfish on the beach story. You've heard the starfish.
Do it. I would tell everybody. I love it.
I love the starfish on the beach. You know, this man was walking along the beach and he saw in the distance another man who was just throwing the odd starfish into the sea because there was millions of starfish had been washed up. So he kept walking along and he actually gets up to the man with the starfish and he's throwing this starfish in you know, and then another one, and then another one. And the first one says to the bloke with the starfish, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm throwing these starfish back into the sea. He said, there's millions of them. You're not making any difference. He said, but I'm making a difference to this one, as he threw it back into the sea. And that's exactly what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We need to realize that actually we can make a small difference. You know, even if we decide to spend £20 or 20% of our Christmas shopping, for instance, I know it's not Christmas, but say, for instance, we decide to spend 20% of our Christmas shopping bill with local independent suppliers, that will have a massive effect. You can imagine 20% of your income will actually go to that or that company or that
because you don't
whatever.
You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't have to do and I think that's a huge point what you're saying is that you just do a little thing here and there. It's like
exactly
okay, can if this is going to cost me $10 more than, you know, doing the big box store, maybe it's really more important because it's going to boost my economy, my local, which means better schools.
Yep.
People are living happier.
Exactly. You know, nine times out of 10,
that's better.
It's better.
Yep.
And also, you know where the money is going to go to, because if I spend 20%, if I spend 100% of my shopping bill at a local supermarket, I've got no idea where that's it's gone to some bloke buying a new yacht, probably. Whereas if I spend 20% of my shopping bill with, my local market trader who sells carrots and celeriac and things, if I'm spending that, I see him every year, I see him every week, I see his kids because I see him at school, you know, I know where the money's going to. Whereas if I spend it with a national or a multinational, all the profits are going who knows where.
It's the same for musicians now, right? So as we go through this big change of corporate stuff, right? So the internet's been fantastic for musicians to have a platform. However, like on Spotify, it's the same thing we deal with as podcasters. Everybody wants to put ads on everything. And, you know, I'm not anti-advertising, but just please come to us first. Thank you very much. Just saying. But it's this corporate thing of like Spotify, like, no, I mean, we're on Spotify. I'm not knocking it because a lot of musicians need and want it. It helps them go, hey, we've had X number of downloads. So people like our music. So please book us in your, you know, event hall or your festival.
Yeah,
so in that way it helps. But if they relied, even the biggest musicians on the planet, if they get $1,000 a month, I mean, you have to have 1 million downloads to get like $10 kind of. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous. You get a, I think for every 10,000 downloads, you get a 0.25% of a penny or something. I mean, it's I have to put that.
That's an incentive.
It's just, you're not going to make money, right? And a lot of musicians, like during COVID, it was really difficult. So they did things online and some made more money actually, but they make money by us going to their performances and supporting the fee to get in. But even the fee to get in half the time goes to the bar or the restaurant, which they need to make a living too. So this is their setup. Everybody has their agreement, but tip them if you can. Buy the merchandise. They make their money, musicians, by you buying their CD. Whether or not you have a CD player, just buy it, you know. And so this whole streaming online thing is taking away their money. And so I'm very excited. So we can complain again. Like, here's the rant, the rave. We're going back to rants and raves radio, Nancy. I swear to God.
Doing it again.
Yeah, but we have to have a rave. You always have to have a rave in music.
There.
The rave is vinyl is back. It is making a step-by-step progress back. So you have something special. So when you put a record on, it's not just about pushing a button on a remote control. You're actually doing the act of taking it out of the sleeve, reading the artwork, the liner notes. You're putting it on and you're actually having to balance the needle on the record. There's a consciousness. And that's where I was going to. Oh, it sounds better.
It sounds better.
But it's a consciousness that I believe we as civilization have been putting ourselves in danger of losing those kinds of things. The more we sit on the couch and use a remote control, the bigger our belly gets.
Or some parts of our
body. And the
more
flippant we are, we don't have the patience. See, that's the other thing about the starfish story.
Yes.
I mean, every little thing that's a patience.
You've just hit the nail on the head. We want everything now. You know, we don't wait for anything.
And what's the rush?
All we do is we sit in the living room and we say, Alexa, play whatever. And the little Alexa thing will play whatever music you want.
She's
going to
hear you. She's going to start playing.
She's
going to
start talking.
She does.
We've heard her on radio shows. Somebody will say that and then she answers. So we're like, no.
But you know, we just want everything now. We don't. And I'm going to go back to where I started about having strawberries at Christmas. You know, we don't want to wait until July when it's the strawberry season and strawberries are fresh and sweet and juicy. Mm-hmm. We want to have strawberries from Spain at Christmas time and they taste like cardboard.
But I was just going to say, it takes the special out of it.
Of course it does.
It's not special anymore.
So now we're not eating seasonally, which is not good for our bellies.
No, and it doesn't taste, you're right, it doesn't taste the same.
No. Mm-mm. So why do we do it? We do it because the supermarkets and the big business have told us that we must have strawberries at Christmas, you know?
Yeah. And well,
indoctrination.
This is the other thing too. With all of that is you used to make preserves. So in summer, you get this bounty. You'd make strawberry jam, right? Yeah. Oh, a good strawberry jam. Oh, and marmalade, right? Oh, those two things, you got me. However, in summer, for breakfast, you don't need to use strawberry jam because you've got strawberries to put with your cereal or actual fresh strawberries, right?
Exactly.
And then winter comes. And you're like, ooh, I'm going to be naughty, have a little extra sugar because I'm using the strawberry jam, which has a little bit more sugar. So you're giving yourself a little treat. So each season has a treat. I'm just saying, and you're really right. I mean, the seasonality, we need to appreciate the seasons and what they do for us and our bodies. You know, you talk about that in your article about us not eating according to the land. I mean, they know that local honey helps our immune system.
Yeah.
So why aren't we doing that? You know?
Well, you know, I've often thought that, you know, I'm the first generation who has, in my family, I'm the first generation who has regularly eaten avocados. You know, none of my ancestors ate avocados. I'm the only one in my sort of ancestors who have eaten a lot of meat, you know, because we probably only normally, even when I was a child, we probably only had meat three times a week if we were lucky. But I'm pretty certain my dad wouldn't have had meat even that many times a week, you know. I'm just wondering whether there is a tie between what we're eating today and what problems we're getting with our digestive system, with our immune system, with our intolerances. I mean, I never knew anybody at primary school who had asthma. I never knew anybody with asthma. I never knew anybody at primary school who had an allergic reaction to nuts or anything else. But nowadays, we all know people with asthma. We all know people who, you can't have nuts in school because children have got nut allergies. Oh,
I'm allergic to nuts for sure.
Sorry?
No, I said I'm allergic to nuts for sure, but I'm just kidding. I actually am. But I grew up
when
grew
she
up
was a child.
Nuts.
When she was a child, she wasn't allergic. Like when we lived in Kenya, she used to eat walnuts and cashews, especially because they're grown there.
But I just wonder whether there's a connection with all of the stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a connection.
There is. Absolutely.
I think there's a connection to it. And I think it has to do with how things are raised. Like the whole gluten thing has to do with how wheat is raised, and it's not necessarily the heritage. Mm-hmm. Like some people, there's farmers working on it now to bring back the heritage grains, like spelt. people don't know what spelt is. You know, it's like these grains that we use, it's like in this country, heritage turkeys are making a comeback and chickens because we're getting to a point where we only have one kind of chicken, one kind of turkey, and so they're mass produced, which means
they're not even the real breed anymore.
Nature tells us when we overproduce one thing, there's going to be a few that aren't as healthy, right? We're going to have a few runts in the litter, basically. And that's truly happening. And people don't get mad at me. It's just science. I didn't do it. But that's the same thing. And so when we do crops and we do this huge monoculture
thing is bad,
where all you have is carrots for miles and miles and miles. The soil is not healthy because now it's not getting these different. It can't be
because you drain all of the specific minerals that carrots, if that's the example, takes.
I do want some carrots
out of the soil, and then having lived in Yuma, personally watching this, it pulls in every insect that wants to eat carrots.
Yes, of course.
So you have a massive influx of insects after one kind of crop because that's the crop you're feeding. So now you have these clouds, like we had whitefly in Yuma on the lettuce crops because that was all there was for miles. Lettuce.
I took out the peanuts. We used to have peanuts for that.
Yeah, and then here came the whitefly that just covered the crops, like millions of them.
No, so they got rid of peanuts so that there would only be lettuce at that
point. So did they have a rotation of crops or did they have lettuce?
Now they have more.
They're changing. Yeah. Well, no, they're changing now because they had no choice.
And they had blood.
And in all due respect, they probably didn't know until they did it and had the results. They didn't know that by planting only one kind of crop would bring on one kind of insect that would bring on one disaster. Okay. To be fair, okay, that they probably didn't know. Some people could have known, some people didn't know.
But if you go back to some old school things, I mean, we're always learning in science, and that's a good thing. But in some old school things are not good. Mm-hmm. And we've learned now, you know, as science is always progressing. Mm-hmm. But I think whenever you're doing anything on a mass quantity, how many times do people see each other and they're wearing the same dress or the same shirt or, you know, the same, you know, you go to a party and it's like, oh, we all bought it at the local Tesco, whatever, you know, I'm trying to be English here, but you know, it's like here, it's Walmart rules the world.
Not careful.
And it's just getting bigger and bigger. Amazon and Walmart ruin everything, you know, yet at the same time, it's this big convenience. But how convenient is convenience at the end of the day? I think that is really the topic of this conversation.
Exactly. Right?
It is,
you know,
it is
there's
until
mining,
it isn't.
And people don't want to realize, but our phones, our computers are all mined from products of mining in Africa. Everyone watch Blood Diamonds. And while you're at it, watch Blood Elephants too. So Blood Lions, watch all of this. Do you see the absolute destruction, not only of the land, but human beings, what they are going through? You know, we talk about slavery today, about what has happened in the past. And I'm always one of these people saying we have slavery now.
We do.
We have human trafficking now. Have slavery that we are all paying for in our clothing and in our computers, in anything digital, we are contributing. So again, what cost is convenience to us? It's not that convenient.
Well, that's the old NIMBYism, isn't it? It's not in my backyard, so I can't see it. You know, the fact that everything we're buying has had a knock-on effect in the third world, you know, because we're now being told to turn everything into electric. You know, we're being told electricity is the way to go. But the problem is to use a lot of this electricity and the way things are being generated, it all takes something else that is taken from another country.
Exactly.
To actually do this. For the batteries, for instance, you know, the mm-hmm. batteries in these electric cars are they're not made of cardboard, you know, these batteries. Mm-hmm. They're mining stuff to make these batteries. And that is a problem mm-hmm. in the country that they're mining the stuff. But we don't care because it's not happening on our backyard.
See, but this is a balance. This balance we have to really look at. I mean, offshore wind, we've done interviews on this, in a lot of ways it's beneficial. I think we have to diversify, like solar can be mm-hmm. really good, but you don't, we did an interview with the executive director of the Texas Aquarium, State Aquarium. And this was such a good conversation because we talked about conservation, and yet they have their aquarium and they do the rescue and they work with the oil refineries. They have the cleanest bay water, yet their oil refineries are right there on the bay in Corpus Christi, Texas. Mm-hmm. And this is where the oil is shipped out of. So They go, okay, we better work with the aquarium and make sure the water's clean, because they get these mass amounts of sea turtles that come in because of climate change are mm-hmm. frozen, 5,000 to 10,000 at a time. And the aquarium comes in, they open a wildlife rescue center. So we had talked about oil. And so the first thing is, well, what do you think about oil? He says, we're in Texas. And yes, I'm sorry, that is part of who we are. However, mm-hmm. we can diversify solar plants. And the lady who's on the show, Margo, was like, well, everything should be solar. No, there are solar plants going up that destruct and destroy habitats, wildlife habitats. We've stood up and done shows on them, and they want to put them all in the desert. In mass fields, see, it's this mass field of things of, hey, we're going to put up a solar plant. And so when they're doing that, you're destroying the habitat for the desert tortoises, which are practically endangered almost. You're destroying habitat for these birds, for these lizards. And if they go away, then this dies over here, right? The web of life. So, but then I said to him, he says, it's about, think about it as our retirement portfolios. Right. And in finance, you want to diversify. If one thing goes out, you want the other thing to be
something
able to step
else
in.
To kick in. Yeah.
So we have to look at diversification, mm-hmm. just like we're talking about agriculture. It's the same thing with our energy. Mm-hmm. Not everyone should have electric cars. No. When we had snowstorms, people couldn't start their cars because they had no electricity.
Exactly.
So there's all of these.
You can't do mass.
You can't do mass. I don't
believe
you
can't.
Everybody can do solar on your house. That's good. It's on a roof. That's not hurting anything.
But look at nature. Nature diversifies and it sprinkles. So there's a whole bunch of different plants in one square acre. If you leave it to nature, there'll be a whole bunch of different plants with different insects. So you don't have a mass crop taken out by one insect. It's a whole bunch of different plants in one place. Well, that's not convenient to us. So we turn around and go, because we're so smart.
Yeah.
Let's make it all one plant. Oh, okay. Now you get all one insect. So now you have one big loss.
But the trouble is, it's all well and good us going on to solar panels and things, but solar panels are made of plastic.
Exactly.
They have all of these battery filaments in them and that they don't last very long. So they all need to be recycled again. But they're not going to be recycled because they'll be chucked out on a waste tip, won't they? You know, and when we're not investigating other sources. Now, behind me is a river and water power is not being investigated enough because tidal power is there all the time. It never changes. It is always in and always out, and it will never stop as long as we've got the moon. So why aren't we using tidal power? Because probably because it's not sexy enough or whatever.
On where you are. Like in this country, depends on where you are, because we're having droughts in some areas. The water has been sucked up for mass
agriculture.
There is
no water.
Yeah.
For mass.
What I'm saying is, you know, where there isn't tidal, fine, use solar. But where there is tidal, use tidal. Where there is wind, use wind. You know, don't just think, oh, why? I mean, our England is not well known to have sunshine from wall to wall, yet we've got solar panels all over the place. And we've even got solar panels covering very good farmland. Now, that's totally ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous.
We have oil derricks on people's farm. So they go in. No, so there's ancient farms, right? And they'll go in and pay a family because, okay, so when it comes to farms, so we have this big poison company that comes in and tells people to buy into their pesticides and to their modified seeds. And we won't go into the name because they changed their name for the good of the people. All started with Agent Orange. So they go in and eventually these farmers get put out of business, the small farmers, and they buy into this thing thinking they're going to help and do all these things. The small farmer has the hardest task on the planet in this country. I really believe
they do.
And so then, you know, if they're not diversified and do all these extra things we're talking about, incredibly difficult. And so some of them die off. And if water's not there, so like the Colorado River, which is the Nile of America, is drying up. I mean, that's it. Yep. And then they go in with a water plan and it's one size fits all. Instead of understanding that the farmer at the bottom of the river is not the same as the farmer at the top of the river. Okay. Those are two different things. And so now, and one farmer doesn't need as much water as this farmer over here and depends. Everything
depends
has got to be
growing.
More right. So like going with what you're saying, it's this localized thing. It cannot be one size fits all.
No.
It cannot be everybody goes with the same crop. Like if carrots grow in Yuma, good for them. And if strawberries grow in California, which they do really well in February, good for California. And for us as travelers, if you're making everything cookie cutter, we might as well just walk around all of us in the same uniform. I mean, what's the point? I mean, it's 1984 coming up just now. Like how it's starting to feel.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So individualism is being completely threatened about being told about how to behave, what to say and do. Nancy, you need to behave yourself.
You're talking to me.
No,
I know,
but I'm just talking about individualism. And regionality and locality goes far bigger than what we're talking about.
Yep.
That is diversification. That is integrity of the land to the people. And I feel like even politically, we're trying to do like one size fits all across the country, around the world, and it doesn't work. Electric cars may work for downtown LA, but not up in upstate New York where they have snowstorms.
So we have to
look at that.
And we don't want one size to fit all.
Well,
we really don't.
I think the corporation's
bottom line money thing, one size fits all, make more money. That's a corporate.
And then they
America.
Pay the politicians.
Yeah.
And so then they pay off the politicians. So we need to do local.
As humanity, we do not want one size fits all. As animals. The animal kingdom does not want one size fits all.
Man.
Only thing on earth that wants one size fits all is corporate entities.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah.
With a cookie
That's
cutter
all.
Report.
And
then they want
only,
the report that that just has the same cookie cutter stuff, right? Instead of actually investigating and really realizing.
They want to do minimal work for maximum dollars. Scrape off the top and throw the pennies
sail
to
their
the
yacht.
Rest of us.
And sail their yacht.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to go
well,
there.
That's the main thing. But, and the problem is who's paying? It's always going to be us, the people at the bottom, and the planet.
Well, and going back to the farmers, half of the farmers now are selling off their old trees or forests.
It's a shame. Yeah.
So they're coming in clear-cutting land and putting oil derricks on their lands or billboards for politicians and political disputes. But it's a truth. It's a true thing happening across the country. We travel, we literally see it.
Yeah.
And it's not normally the things we talk about, you know, what we do. We do a lot of interviews about this stuff, but you know, a good rant is important because it is a good, it's a wake up. And I really believe everything we've talked about with you, Glenn, over the years, whether it's family history, travel, you know, buy local. It comes down to there is no travel and get a new experience if we're all cookie cutter.
No.
Life is boring.
Yeah, what's the point?
That means your kids need to look exactly like the kids next door. That's why I was always against school uniforms. But anyway, I'm sorry. But look, and there's some benefits to uniforms.
That's
funny. It's more cost effective for families. But I just really, really think we've got to take control of our own backyards as individuals. Mm. And I mean take control in that we need to take ownership of what's happening and go, hey, how much do we really need? How much, what would be better? What do we want? Go to the local meetings, because if we can hold our local governments accountable and use our voices and actually do things like volunteer and like today is Earth Day, you know, and well, by the time this airs, it'll be midnight for you. Sorry, Earth Day's over. But you know, Earth Day should be every day. This is something that we should look at volunteering. If you want your local park to be clean, start cleaning.
It'll help.
Yes, exactly.
It'll help.
It doesn't take much, does it? Like I say, starfish on the beach. If you do a little bit, it's all going to have a knock-on effect.
I love it. I love it. Glenn, thank you for having a good rant with us. Did we end it on a positive, right?
Well, I think everything's a positive because we've brought it out into the open, and hopefully, I mean, not being funny, but if five people actually sit back and think about this, that's great. That's five people who hadn't done before. So it's a starfish on the beach situation. You know, if we can make a difference to even one person, we've made a difference, and that's what counts.
Yeah. And who doesn't love a beautiful starfish?
They're magic. They're so cool.
I love the starfish because it's really true about it. I think this expectation thing has to go. I think the expectation is a real critical danger. I think we have to have expectations, but don't overdo it. You know what I mean?
What is your real goal? How do you expect to get there and why? Like, is it, everybody wants to be rich. Do what? What do you call rich? What's rich? Is rich going outside and seeing a clear blue sky and blue jays?
And a starfish.
And you can breathe? Or is rich, I have this big condo in the middle of LA and I can't go outside because it's smoggy and it hurts my lungs.
Well,
it's
quite funny because when I first started my business, I was looking at what is a five-star experience. And you know, for a lot of people, a five-star hotel is a five-star experience. A lot of people for the best experience in the world would be staying in a five-star hotel in Dubai, for instance, right? And at that time, I used to think to myself, for the Queen of England, a five-star experience would be actually being able to pop into the local market and buy some potatoes and carrots, because she can't do that. And an experience beyond your wildest dreams is actually different to everybody, because
it should be
for the Queen. Actually going out in the street and just having a wander and enjoying the nature is impossible. She can't have a wander about in the middle of Dearham, for instance, because she'd be mobbed by people. So a five-star hotel experience for her is run-of-the-mill. That's not an experience. That's not anything special. So what is special? What is value for money? What is richness? You know?
That's interesting because you say a five-star hotel in Dubai to me is like...
Having 25 million in the bank is not worth anything to me.
No, to me, roughing it in the bush with African animals, now that's a five-star experience. I want to see warthogs and lions, and I want to be dirty in the dirt. I don't want to be in some luxury hotel that's overlooking a fake lake, you know, a fake ocean.
Exactly.
What is the point? So that is the whole point. That is why I decided that I would not use what I call spit and cardboard hotels. Because they might be five star, but they're still spit and cardboard. They're exactly the same in Dubai as they are in London. And who wants to be in the same place?
And Glenn wants real sausage for breakfast.
You have a really good point, because we have the hotel chains, and you know, so you wake up in the same room that you had 3 weeks before, except you're in a different city, but it's the same colors.
What's the point?
Same. But there's no enjoyment in that. It's easier for them at the bottom line for them. It's more money for them.
But it's no good for me.
It's not a consumer
luxury
experience.
Luxury is having something that is completely different, like staying in Catherine's lovely bed and breakfast that's been in her family since 1360.
You know,
that is something special.
Yeah, but, that's cool. Standing in your ancestors' footsteps, like when you went to Canada and stand in your ancestors' footsteps, you know.
Yeah, going to Halifax in Nova Scotia, it was a tingling in the back of the neck feeling. And that's money can't buy that.
The one place we stayed that was part of Benjamin Franklin's family. Lisa,
oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. In Connecticut.
Like 1700s place that we stayed. It was awesome.
They had the original cauldrons from the 1700s. And it's right there. Uh-huh. You go to make coffee in this teeny, teeny little kitchen because it was the kitchen from then. Mm-hmm. They had a newer part of the house, but we were on the older part, and we could do any side, but you're walking every morning. I looked at this cauldron and went, what the heck were they making? Like how much, like what was going on with that? I mean, were they boiling bath water? Like what were they doing? Were they laundry? Like, you know, and you could still smell it from the use over all these years. And these people are caretakers to the land, and they also raise pigs and bunnies and chickens, and then they sell them locally. And so when we were there, the delivery of them was late, which I wanted to play with them, you know, but they're like, I hope you understand these are all going to market. They will be, you know, slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wah, but I get it. And they're very much about that hyper-local that we're talking about. This, if you eat what is raised locally, you're going to be healthier and you're supporting each other. And I think we've got to get more back to those roots. And it's about having human relationships. So we're going back to that customer service thing. We've lost customer service. And that's why we all came in on a rant, because we've all just gone through some really bad customer service. But
or lack of.
Lack of customer service means things are not being taken care of. They're not being watched. There's no attention to detail, which makes people's blood pressure goes up, you know, and do bad things. Like, it's not healthy, right? And then we're not having connection with the land. So there's no, when we lose these connective points of human connectiveness, I feel we've lost connectivity with the land as well. And that is not a good thing. Things just get packaged and processed and packaged and processed,
shipped,
and we are becoming what is being processed, and just wear the same thing, do the same thing, give us your paycheck, move on, same thing. 1984, everybody have a nice day. Oh, everyone, I keep up with Glenn. I'm not making light of it at all, obviously. Norfolk-tours.co.uk. I can say it. I've been saying it for years. And his articles are up on blendradio and tv.com. And if you want to know about nature in England, go see his articles on nature, nationalparkplanning.com. And of course, we're here every fourth Saturday with Glenn. Next time we'll not do as much ranting, right, Glenn? Next time we'll behave.
We might not. We might. Who knows?
We might. We were good about politics, right? But everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Girls. See you later.